talking about getting to know Jesus better. Getting to know Him. There's nothing greater in life than just knowing Him and learning to love Him more. And so Paul said that I may know Him, and we're still on that theme, and I don't know, we may be on that theme till Jesus comes. Because that's the whole idea about a Christian life, is getting to know Jesus better. So turn in your Bibles, if you would. I don't have this on the overhead. So you need to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be starting Matthew chapter 5, and then we're going to go into chapter 6 and possibly chapter 7. Because I kind of feel like if we know what Jesus said and what He did, we could learn about Him and learn to know Him better. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to obey Him. Okay? To obey Him is to trust Him. And so if we learn to know Him, then we can learn to love Him. A lot of people, the reason people don't love Jesus is because they don't know Him. Or maybe sometimes somebody has really screwed up their head with some images or thoughts of who Jesus is. I've run into a lot of people who are angry at God, and the reason they're angry at God is because they don't know God. Okay? If they really knew who God was, they would not be angry with Him. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins what is called, we call, the Sermon on the Mount. You need to understand this, that He's not talking to the multitudes at this time. As a matter of fact, we're going to read where he sees the multitude, and then He calls His disciples up on the mountain, and He begins to have a dialogue with them. And so the things that He's going to be sharing are things that is just for His disciples. Okay, so let's just read in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, and we will read through verse 12. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, so if you have a different version, of course, it's going to read a little differently. Okay? Starts out, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the prophets who were before you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and as we do, I'd ask you just to reach across the aisle and hold someone's hand. If you're all by yourself, get with someone. I want you to pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open the heart of the person who I'm standing next to and whose hand I'm holding, and open my heart as well to be able to receive from you what you have for me today. I pray that you would open the hearts of those around me. Open my heart as well to receive you in all your fullness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So you need to understand this. As you read the Gospels, you're going to find many times where Jesus calls his disciples apart from the multitude. Okay? And he begins to explain to them ideas that no one else can receive. He begins to share with them deeper truths than the multitude are going to get. Okay? So here's what you need to understand as well, that if you are going deeper with God, God is going to go deeper with you. And if you're going deeper with God to get to know Him in a deeper level, He's going to begin to share truths with you that He's not going to share with just anybody. Okay? It's going to be new. There are going to be new things for you. Your eyes will be open. New understanding will come. And God, so that's one of the ways that Lord begins to reveal Himself to you, is just by opening His Word up to you and sharing insight with you. Not everybody has that insight. Only those individuals who are going deeper with the Lord. Okay? And so Jesus calls apart His disciples from the multitude, and He says, "Hey guys, I want to share something with you." And what He begins to share with them is it's a new day. It's a new day, fellas. The old things are gone. It's a new day. There's a new order, and I'm here to establish that new order. One of the things I enjoy, I enjoy reading Westerns. Louis L'Amour is my favorite author. And I've probably got 300 books of Louis L'Amour. I love to read Louis L'Amour. I don't know if he's written a book that I haven't read yet. I keep looking for more. But here's, in the Louis L'Amour books, there's always a hero. And he comes on the scene, and it's a new day. Something changes because that person has taken a role of authority. It could be Jubal Sackett. It could be Tyrell Sackett. It could be Logan Sackett. I really like the Sacketts. It could be any of those guys. But when they come on the scene, something changes. And Jesus, in the beginning here, when He gets His disciples away, He says, "Listen, there's a new day. There's a new day. There's a new order. There's a new sheriff in town. And I'm calling the shots." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He comes down in the most humble way. And He says, and He speaks, He's not speaking to the multitudes, He's talking to the disciples. And He says, "Listen, guys, I want to share something with you. And I hope you're listening. Because things are changing, and you're going to be part of the change. You're going to be part of the change." So He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? First thing it means is that you know that you have a spiritual need. You know, there are people all over who are seeking to fill a need spiritually. There's a vacancy in their heart. And so they're doing everything they can to fill that spiritual need. There were some people over in Madras who thought the eclipse would fill that spiritual need. You know, it was exciting. It was great. It was fantastic. It lasted about 2 minutes. Okay, and then it's over. There are those who feel like worldly possessions or other things are going to fill that spiritual need. But there's only one person who can fill that spiritual need. And Jesus said, blessed, spiritually prosperous, spiritually blessed, fortunate, happier are those who are spiritually poor, for they, for theirs, is the kingdom of heaven. Did you ever come to a place in your life, or have you ever, that you realized you were spiritually bankrupt? And that Jesus was the only one who could fill that vacancy in your life? It's like there was a vault in your life that was so empty and it was shallow, and you came to a place where you realized that Jesus was the only one who could fill that. See, Jesus said there's a new order in town. It's a new day, guys. It's a new day. It's a new day. But you need to understand this. Not only for those who don't know Christ, you need to understand that Jesus is the only one who can fill that vacancy. But for us as Christians, do you know that sometimes we can become spiritually depleted as well? So how do you fill that depletion? What do you do to fill your tank again? Help me out here. I don't know. Get in the Word. Pray. Get in fellowship. If you don't do those things, you're going to be running on empty. You're going to be running on empty. You know, there are some pastors who preach 7 and 8 and 9 times a week. How do they do that? They keep getting filled. That's the only way. Otherwise, and then there are other pastors who just get burned out. Listen, we all of us have to get our tank filled. Every single one of us have to get our tank filled. Because if we don't, we're going to be running on empty. And God's going to bring people into our lives where we ought to be ministering to them, and we have nothing to give. We're just running on empty. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. We need to understand that we're poor in spirit. If we don't understand that we need Him, if we don't understand that we have to have Him to fill our lives, to be able to go through life with a joy and happiness. Oh, by the way, what does it mean for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Scripture says, the kingdom of God is... Now, if you're reading in the New Testament, Matthew uses the word kingdom of heaven. The other gospel writers uses the kingdom of God. There's really no difference between two. It's all the same. Okay? So, Paul says in Romans, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, let me ask you a question. Are you living in heaven right now? Because heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're the ones who get to experience the peace of the Lord. They get to experience the joy of the Lord. They get to experience the righteousness of the Lord. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, because Jesus is the only one who can fill you. See, this is a daily thing. It's not just a one-time thing. We come to Christ, yes. Sometimes we'll come to a place in our lives where we realize our spiritual need. And we also realize that Jesus is the only one who can meet that need. And so we reach out to Him as He's reaching out to us. We embrace Him as He embraces us. We begin to trust Him as He... And we give our lives to Him. But then we need to continue that relationship, building it, building it, building it, building it, building it. so that every day we will be filled. Scripture says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, these things of the Spirit, the righteousness, peace, the love, the things that's talked about here, joy, those are the things that the Spirit gives you. But you can only receive from the Spirit as if until you, the only way you can receive from the Spirit is by seeking Him and pursuing Him. Francis Chan said this, "We never grow closer to God when we just live life. It takes deliberate pursuit and attentiveness." Read that again. We never grow closer to God when we just live life. It takes deliberate pursuit and attentiveness. So I'm going to just ask you really quick before I move on. Where are you spiritually? Are you living the heaven life? Are you just kind of making it day by day by day? Where are you? You don't have to answer out loud, but it's something you need to ask for yourselves and consider, because the Lord doesn't want you just to make it day by day by day. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. Can we pray again? There's something not just right this morning, and I haven't put my finger on it yet, but there is a heaviness here that we need to address. How many of you have some special heart things that are going on in your heart this morning that you need prayer for? Okay? Several of you. Second one is, blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. I want you to know that whatever situation that you're troubled with this morning, Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Do you believe that He cares for you? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your hands like this. The problems, the troubles, the difficulties that you are that's coming to your mind right now, I want you to unload them into your hand. And in a few minutes, we're going to lift them up to the Lord and ask Him to take them from you. This is a teaching time, so you can do this daily, okay? So, Lord, I come before You right now. And, Lord, there are things in my head and my mind that are distracting me, that's keeping me from being able to concentrate this morning and be able to receive from You. The enemy is at work in the name of Jesus. We bind that enemy's work in our minds, in this place. We command the spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we empty all of these things into our hands that are troubling us. Lord, You're greater than any difficulty that we face. You're greater than any difficulty that our families face. Any concern that we have, You're greater than those things. And so, Lord, we come before You and we place these concerns in our hands. And now we lift them up to You. You said to cast all our cares upon You because You care for us. And so, Lord, I release them to You. I toss them to You. I can't do anything about the situations, but You can. So, Lord, I'm trusting You with these situations. And I give You praise, and glory, and honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. The second one is, blessed are those supremely blessed, fortunate, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's two things here. One is that there is a sorrow over sin. And Jesus said there's a new day. There's a new day You don't have to live under condemnation anymore. See, the Jews at this time had a sacrificial system. So that if they sinned throughout the year, or when they sinned, they could come to the temple and they could offer a sacrifice, maybe of a bull, a goat, a pigeon, a dove, something, in order for their sins to be kind of covered over for a little while. Okay? And then on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would come and he would offer the sins for the nations of Israel. And that would be covered over for a time until next year. The personal sacrifice would be covered over until you sinned again. Then you'd have to bring another offering, another offering, another offering, another offering. Jesus said there's a new day. And the new day is that I am the offering for sin. That's the new day. You don't have to go to the temple anymore and offer sacrifices because I'm the sacrifice for sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, and then in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. Where did the Jews then go to offer sacrifices for sin? Because it was against, the only place you could offer sacrifices for sin was at the temple. You're not to go anywhere else except for the temple. So where did the Jews go then? Nowhere. They have no place to go. Sacrifices of sin. They're anticipating one day to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And then they will have a place to sacrifice for their sins. But for 2,000 years, there has been no place for them to go to sacrifice for sins. So for 2,000 years, they've been carrying their sins around. Generation after generation after generation after generation. Do you know how weighty it is to carry sin around? Can you imagine carrying the sins of generations around? But Jesus said there's a new day coming. And the new day is here. There's a new sheriff in town. And I am the sacrifice for the sin. Now the disciples didn't understand that at that time. We understand that now. He says there's a new day. Blessed are you who mourn over your sinful condition. Blessed are you who are concerned about your spiritual well-being. Blessed are you because you will be comforted. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. It's going to be on the overhead. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to comfort all who mourn. So we'll just stop there. So if you're mourning over sin, if you need comfort over your sin, Jesus said, I'm the guy who will take care of that problem. But you know what? It's not only things that we, not only our sin that we often mourn over, oftentimes we mourn over loss in our life as well. And all of us have had loss. Of one kind or another, every single one of us have lost. And we've mourned for those things. There's some people that never get over that. But Jesus said, I come to comfort all who mourn. Not just mourn over their sinful condition, but those who mourn over loss as well. He goes on to say in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask you a question. Have you taken advantage of God's gift to us through Jesus Christ? Have you exchanged your mourning clothes for the oil of joy? Have you exchanged the mourning clothes for the garment of praise in your life? Now, let me just say this, and I want you to hear me. If you're in mourning, don't pretend you're not grieved. It's okay, and you ought to praise the Lord even during difficult times. But don't allow your praise of God to squash and just don't put a lid on the grief, I guess is what I'm saying. You need to be real with the Lord, and you need to just say to Him, God, I'm hurting right now. I'm in a lot of pain right now. And this is the reason I'm in pain. But God, even in the midst of the pain, I'm going to praise You. Don't pretend it's not there. Does that make sense? Don't pretend it's not there. Don't try to be all Christian-y. Okay? Is that a good word? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, don't try to be religious. If you like that word better. I like my word better. Don't pretend that everything's okay when it's not okay. It's okay to say, I'm hurting right now. It's okay to say, well, can you pray for me? Can you help me? It's okay. Not only is it okay, you ought to do it. Because sometimes you can't get out of a hole by yourself. You need somebody to help you out. Okay? And so having brothers and sisters come along beside you and help you get past that is why the church exists. Or one of the reasons anyway. Okay? So, blessed are those who mourn. If you don't mourn, you can't be comforted. Right? Blessed are you. Spiritually prosperous are you. Happier are you if you mourn so that you can be comforted. All right? Now, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to get over mourning. The instructions to Israel was, you mourn for 30 days. You put on your mourning clothes, and you wear black, and you just mourn. And it's okay, and I want you to mourn. But after 30 days, take off your mourning clothes. And get back with life. Praise the Lord. Lift Him up. Let Him strengthen you. Let Him bless you. Okay? It's okay to mourn, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. There are 9 points to this message. I'm not going to get past number 3, it looks like. Okay? So you'll have to come back next week to get some more. I'm not going to tell you how many more. But Jesus said there's a new day in town. There's a new day, a new sheriff. This is a new day. Number 3, supremely blessed, fortunate, happy are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you know what meekness means? It means gentle. But actually, we don't use this word anymore. Have you ever watched a horse race? The word for training horses without breaking their spirit is called meeking a horse. Okay? And so what it is power under control. Power under control. That's what meekness means. And for a person to be meek, that means that God is able to use them in a glorious way, because they don't have a lot of, it's not a self-effort thing, it's a God thing that's working in their life. And they're not bringing glory to themselves. They know they have power, but it's only because the Holy Spirit gives them that power. Okay? And so they're able to utilize the power of the Holy Spirit because they're humble, because they're gentle, because they are able to not escalate themselves to a degree that's an ego trip. They're always giving the Lord praise. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek. So I want to ask you, you remember Moses? Remember the story of Moses and how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the, well, almost into the promised land? But this is what Scripture says about Moses, that of all the people on earth, and I don't know how many people were on earth at that time, millions, I suppose, of all the people on earth, Moses was the meekest person on earth. Isn't that interesting? Power under control. If you allow yourself, if you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, you don't lift yourself up, if you begin to seeking Him and going deeper with Him, there's no telling what God can do with you. There's no telling. You'd be amazed. I think Moses was amazed. I'm pretty sure Moses was amazed of what God did through him. Dwight L. Moody said this, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man who is totally yielded to Him." He said, "I want to be that man." God used him in mighty ways, but on his deathbed, he said, I didn't succeed in totally yielding myself to the Lord. Spiritually prosperous, blessed, fortunate, happier are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. I shared with you a few weeks ago about, you know, the disciples said, Peter said, "God, we've left all and followed you. What do we get in return? What's my reward?" And Jesus said, if you've left family, if you've left homes, if you've left lands, you'll have 100 times more in this than in the world to come. Was Peter real meek at that time in his life? Not at that time. But he learned that. You know, Jesus was choosing his disciples, and I'll probably share this at another time because it's so great. Jesus was picking his disciples, and he saw Simon, and he said, "I saw you under the fig tree, a person with no guile, somebody with no poison in your life." And he said, "How did you know me?" He said, "I saw you under the tree." They never met before. He said that you're a person with no guile. And no poison in his life. Do you have any poison in your life? If you do, it's going to keep you from being meek. If you do, it's going to keep you from being the Lord to allow. It's going to keep you from allowing the Lord to do awesome things in your life. You have some action steps on your communication card, and there's like 7 or 8 action steps. You don't have to mark all of them because we haven't gotten that far yet. But if there's some areas in your life that you feel like the Lord is working with you on and you want to communicate that with me, then I'm going to ask that you just check that so that I can pray for you. So I can see where your progress is in your walk with the Lord. Okay. This morning, and I'm assuming everyone here knows Christ as your Savior, but perhaps there may be some here who realize maybe for the first time that Jesus is the one who can take care of the sin problem in your life. He says there's a new day. A new day. You don't have to live under condemnation anymore. You don't have to live under the sorrow of your sin anymore. You don't have to live under guilt or shame anymore because there's a new day and I've come to take that away from you. So one of the things I'm going to ask you to do this morning is if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, then in a few moments we're going to have what we call a hymn of invitation, and I'll be standing here at the front and I'll share with you more clearly how to do that. Okay? Or I would love for you to do that. Some people are timid. If you just want to mark on your card, I want to receive Christ, I'll get in touch with you. Okay? Others of you realize that the Lord is calling you to a deeper walk with Him. And maybe you just want to come up here to the altar and pray. And you want to yield to what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. So, Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you that you are who you are. Lord, you are amazing. You are incredible. Lord, to be willing, and not only willing, but able to take our sins from us. That's one of the major reasons you came to this earth. Lord, then to allow us to be able to walk with the joy and the peace and righteousness. What a promise. What an experience. Lord, there are many here today, I feel, that are not experiencing the fullness of the Spirit because of maybe concerns in their life. Maybe it's sin in their life. I'm not sure what it is, but Lord, you know. So Lord, I pray that you would just move in each of our lives today so that we'd be more yielded to you. Lord, that you would just come in and take control. These things we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.